If a Christian doesn't pray about heaven, that's a remarkable lack. Who ever heard of exiles not thinking about home?
Now, I said, that's exactly what the rosary is. We are in a new moment of time and a new moment of space. So we keep saying to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother, I love you, I love you.
That's the Holy Rosary. That's the Catholic faith. The whole Catholic faith is in it.
But I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. We're back on the road, the second episode of the new edition. And we've got our first prayer request in the prayer group. I want to encourage, take an opportunity here to encourage everybody to write prayers in, because the old ways are still available. You can still drop us a line on Gab at the Daily Decad. You could find us on Post now. We're not on nobody. We're still on the Fediverse. They're no longer, the Mario Goretti account is gone on Nobody Has the .biz, or it should be. And we have a new account that is just at the Daily Decad. The Daily Decad, just like on Telegram and just like on Gab, it's all standardized. The Daily Decad on POA.ST. If you're not familiar with that, it's a Fediverse instance, which is an alternative social media platform that's used largely as an alternative to Twitter, and I think as a fairly good alternative to Telegram. The main drawback of it is the kinds of postings that are made there. This is something that I ran into some trouble with over at the other instance, Nobody Has the .biz, because of the impurity that permeates our society. It finds its way onto those boards and creates a situation of temptation for just about anybody who uses them. So it's something to be aware of, but there is such a broad audience that has been untouched, as you can imagine, by any kind of genuine devotional life, that it seems a good idea, a prudent thing, a Christian thing, to establish a presence there. So that's why we're there. And if you're listening from the Fediverse, whatever instance it is that you're on, and you've seen some of our stuff from Post, if you're listening to this now, then welcome. God love you. And I hope that you gain quite a lot out of listening here. And that's for everybody, all the Telegram audience, the Gab audience, the folks that have stumbled upon the prayer cast through either Exodus Americanus, where we're syndicated, we'll continue to be syndicated, or through our own website, praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. I pray for all of the listeners of the Daily Decad every single day, and I am delighted, in fact, I consider it an obligation and a penance to pray for all of your intentions. So please do write the intentions in, because it helps me. And it's also an opportunity for all of us, because I ask all of you to pray with me for the intentions that are sent in. God not only welcomes but loves our prayers, because they are our acknowledgement of His power and of His authority over all things. We pray to Him because we know that He alone can do the things that we can imagine being done. Even all the good things that we do are ultimately God acting through us. And so, because He is the source of all good things, when we pray for good things, we first of all acknowledge that these good things can only come from Him, and we also surrender ourselves and our own wills, if we're doing it right, to Him, because He alone knows what is good, and He can deny things to us which we think of as good and may be good in themselves but are not good for us at the moment that we ask for them. And so implicit in all prayers that are said of a right spirit is what our Lord said in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is, not my will, but thy will be done. And a proper prayer, therefore, is always a recognition of God's power, a surrender of the will, and it is also a confession of his love for us, that a loving father will grant a decent request made by his son. So prayer is true worship in that regard, because it is worship on three levels. The level of recognizing and adoring God's power, the surrender to his authority, and the confession of his love for us. When you think about it, you've got your faith, hope, and charity are all wrapped up right there. That's all, the three cardinal virtues are found in the very act of prayer. So when I say prayers for all of you and invite you to pray for whomever has written in, we are engaging in an act of communal worship that accompanies the actual prayer of the rosary. So I really do encourage you to send in prayers and ask for prayers and ask other people to pray for you and pray for other people as often as you can, so that you might join in brotherhood. You know, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I also, is what our Lord tells us. So these are things to bear in mind. Now today is a Wednesday. This is not being recorded on Wednesday, but for your purposes, this is Wednesday. And Wednesday is a day of the glorious mystery. So we are going to reflect on the first glorious mystery, which is the resurrection of our Lord, that we so lately celebrated on the feast of Easter and the feast of the resurrection. So we're going to pray today reflecting on that mystery, and we're going to pray for Neil, who has been submitted to us as a prayer request from a listener. Neil, God love him, has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and he has a wife and children. So I'd like to pray for him, and I'd like to pray for his entire family as they bear up this particular cross, that it might bring them nearer to God, as all suffering ought to do. As I said before, Mondays and Wednesdays we're going to pray in English, and then Fridays, some Fridays, we'll pray in Latin. Maybe perhaps all Fridays, but some Fridays at least we'll pray in Latin. So for today we're in English. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God. Get your rosaries out. If you don't have a rosary, go and procure one. They're very easy to find. And we will say our decade on behalf of Neil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who by the Holy Ghost was conceived, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For an increase in faith, hope, and charity, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The first glorious mystery is our Lord's resurrection from the tomb. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, most holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, who didst deign to send thine only begotten Son, who by his life, death, and resurrection did purchase for us the rewards of eternal life, look with favor on us, that meditating on the sacred mysteries of the most holy rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Jude, patron of lost causes, to whom so many extend their heartfelt pleas in moments of desperation, we humbly beg thy intercession on behalf of Neil, the servant of God, and on behalf of his family, for the sickness and the suffering that has become their cross, that it may form them, that they may be delivered unto the will of God and to the love of God, and that they may be drawn nearer to God through both sorrow and joy, in both suffering and relief, in both sickness and in healing. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the true physician, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us, in all of our ailments, spiritual, physical, and mental, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I can't recall whether when I recorded yesterday, whether I do my usual devotion, where the last Sacred Heart of Jesus is, Thy Kingdom Come, rather than have mercy on us. That's a devotion tied to the apostleship of prayer that was founded, actually it was founded by the Jesuits, I think, before they went completely off the rails. I have a soft spot for the Jesuits because I was trained by the Jesuits, but they did go off the rails. But before they did, there were a number of Jesuits who were very sound, and Father Hardin, I think, is probably the biggest one. That's H-A-R-D-O-N, and he has a number of really wonderful commentaries that you run into when you read, if you have a copy of the Benedictus, it has a lot of his writings are quoted in there. Very good devotional writings, very easily accessible, and a very good guide, too. And I think Father Anthony Paon, who wrote that Our Daily Bread, I think he's also a Jesuit. Father Hugh Thwaite, one of my favorite English priests, he's also a Jesuit, or was a Jesuit, he's passed on, God rest him. Father Leonard Feeney, who admiration for whom I am reluctant to confess, nevertheless I do love his poetry, and he's a great essayist and poet. He's the sort of man that was also very deeply ingrained in his faith, and you have to admire that. He complained that the public got the sense that he was a poet who did a little bit of priesting on the side, which was the opposite of the reality of things. All of these men from the early 20th century were all Jesuits, and so you can't believe that the order is completely lost. And one of the things that they got going in the 20th century was this apostleship of prayer dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's a marvelous idea. I don't know the degree to which it still exists in its original form, but it is truly a beautiful thing. And I think the equivalent of, in the way that the Immaculate Heart is the center of, say, the Legion of Mary or the Militia Immaculata of St. Maximilian Kolbe, the apostleship of prayer is similar to those organizations in relationship to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which I understand why it's, I think I regret somewhat that the devotions surrounding the Sacred Heart have somewhat been eclipsed in American Catholicism, at least, by devotions to the Blessed Mother and to the Immaculate Heart. Now, that's not to diminish the Immaculate Heart. It's not to say anything against the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. It's just, I suppose, a minor regret. We do go through Mary to Jesus, as St. Louis de Montfort said, but nevertheless, I like the Jesus devotions, and the Sacred Heart's one of them. So, one of the things that the apostleship of prayer does is when you say the three Sacred Heart prayers, the last one is followed by Adveniat Regnum Tuum or Thy Kingdom Come, depending on whether you're praying them in Latin or in English. Now, that's a little bit of an aside and really a complete sidebar and non sequitur as regards to what we're talking about today, which is a reflection on the first glorious mystery, which is the resurrection of our Lord. Now, this is such a central thing to our entire faith. The crucifixion and the resurrection are the reason for Christianity. And the emphasis on one or the other really defines all Christian sects. You have the Roman Catholic Church, on the one hand, that focuses on the crucifixion, and you have everybody else that focuses on the resurrection. These two moments are the pivotal moments in the faith. And so what Christ does at his resurrection is of supreme importance to us as Christians going on from there. Now, I don't want to give an exegesis and a commentary on Scripture because I don't think that I'm equipped to do that, and it's not necessarily appropriate or really helpful from a devotional standpoint. What is helpful is to consider for a moment what symbols are being communicated to us by those who are witnesses of the resurrection. My favorite witness of the resurrection, it's not a surprise, I think a lot of people feel this way about her, is St. Mary Magdalene. There's an incredibly emotive passage. I find it quite moving. You know, there's portions of the Bible that you read, and we get so used to reading it as a liturgical book that there's some moments of really deep passion and emotion in there, or at least deep connection to God that exists in there that end up getting filtered out because of the way that we interact with it. And there's a particularly emotive, there's two of them that I find really powerful. The first one is the conversion or the calling of Nathanael when Christ comes to him and says, I saw thee under the fig tree. And his response is to confess Christ to be his Lord and his God. Thou art the King of Israel. Thou art the Son of God. Because I say, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou sayest thou art the Son of God, shall see greater things than these. Such a beautiful passage and interaction. And the other one that's really powerful, I know a lot of people like the woman saved in adultery, but I think that Mary Magdalene has a much greater and more emotional interaction with our Lord in the at the resurrection, because she doesn't recognize him at first. He comes out of the tomb and he is clothed in a light that is indescribable. You know, H.P. Lovecraft talked about the color out of space, and it's sort of almost a diabolical inversion of what you imagine the light of Mount Tabor to be. It is a light that is not seen. It is a light that is, it has no brightness and no darkness to it, but is pure in its existence, such that it is absorbed as much by the soul as it is by the faithful. Or as much by the soul as it is by the eyes. As much by the soul of the faithful man as it is by the eyes of the faithful man. There, that is what I was trying to say. This light clothed him and hid him from the view of his disciples. You see that on the road to Emmaus as well. He encounters these two, he talks for a bit with them, and they don't know who he is, they don't recognize him. And he deals with them in a very interesting way, because they talk about what's going on in Jerusalem, and he basically tells them, you blockheads, you haven't noticed, you haven't thought about or paid attention to anything that was said. Is it not expedient that the Son of Man should suffer? And then he expounds on the Scriptures and talks about all the prophecies, which I believe are in the realm of 114 or 124 Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled in the course of the New Testament. It's an amazing number. It's an astronomical number in terms of Old Testament, taking a book like that and cross-referencing what's actually happening. But here he appears to Mary, and she does not recognize him. And she says, and she asks where they have taken her Lord. For she does, and he asks why she's crying, and she says, because my Lord is missing, and I do not know where they have taken him. Tell me where you have taken the Master. And he says her name. He just says Mary. And all of a sudden her eyes are opened, and she sees him clearly. And she falls on her knees and says, Rabboni, which is a word that means great master, a master of masters. In terms of rabbi is a word meaning teacher, which makes it particularly ironic that it should be in the hands of people who have nothing of truth in them to teach. But she says, Rabboni, and she falls upon him. To such a degree that he says, do not touch me, for I have not ascended to my Father in heaven. And the passage there, the illocutionary force of the Greek, is a little bit more like, stop pawing at me. Don't get all worked up. It's a beautiful symbolic moment when Mary interacts with our Lord. And it's funny because, you know, our Blessed Mother is the first person to whom our Blessed Lord appeared after his resurrection, and yet her encounter with him appears nowhere in Scripture, probably because it was something that was strictly between her and her God, and it was something that it has nothing to teach us. And so we don't have it there, but we have St. Mary Magdalene's interaction with our Lord. We have that in detail, and beautiful detail at that, because we are Mary Magdalene. You know, the Magdalene is the penitent par excellence. She is the first great penitent. She is the mother. She really is, in a way, the mother of penitence, because her sin was grave. Her lifestyle was absorbed in sin. She was a hardened sinner. And through God's mercy, she turns to him in the fullness of her of herself, of her very being, and seeks to devote her entire life and existence after that point to doing penance for her sins. And so she's this wonderful example of the penitent. And at this moment, when Christ emerges from the tomb, she's blind to him and deaf to his voice. Are we not the same when we sin? When we fall into sin, we become blind and deaf to holy things. And when we're deep in sin, deep in mortal sin, the Mass has no flavor for us. Our prayers have no savor. There's sawdust in our mouths. You have to force yourself to participate in any kind of liturgical life at all. Even the images of the saints and the crucifix become distasteful to us. Not necessarily that we're disgusted by them, but we have a hard time looking at them, a hard time kneeling before them and praying when we're in a state of mortal sin. And in this way, we become blind to them, and we become deaf to the words of our Lord. And it is only when he calls to us, and he does call to us, that we begin to recognize him and turn to him. And it's a very strong, I suppose, undergirding of the reality that without God calling to us and us running to him in our sense of penance, we can have no reunion with him. We can have no fullness of our relationship with him. And that we are, in our sins, cut off from him and made crippled in the sight of God. And St. Mary Magdalene has him revealed to her. Now, she's not a sinner in this sense. She's been a penitent already, so she's not a sinner. It's not that she doesn't recognize him because she's in sin. I don't mean to say that, because she's clearly not. We are. That's us. She's an avatar of us. In a way, avatar is probably the wrong word to use there, but she is symbolic of us and how we do not hear, listening we do not hear, and seeing we do not behold, or beholding we do not see, because we are darkened by sin. And so we must ask God to open our eyes, to call to us by name, and open our eyes and our ears and our mouths that we might show forth praise to him. And that's the real message of the resurrection, is that we must ask God to call upon us. It is the effect of the resurrection is ongoing. It's not simply Christ is risen from the dead and now everybody is saved. All you have to do is believe. No, there's real effort on our part that's required to bring Christ into our lives and into our hearts. And that's the sacrament. That's what the sacrament of penance is all about. You know, it's about, in a way, it's about sort of restoring our spiritual health. But in more ways than that, it's an opportunity for us to turn to God and get salvation. Because we can't get it without asking for it. We can't get it without making ourselves prepared for it. It's not something that's just there to be grabbed off. Well, I suppose it's there to be grabbed off the shelf, but you have to actually make the effort to go into the store and grab it. And you have to pay for it. Now, our Lord gives his sacrifice to God freely, but for us to benefit from it, we must put forth efforts. And Mary Magdalene is our model in those efforts, because she was a penitent, because she spent her life in penance and was only called to see our Lord at the very end, when she had spent so much of her time after initially meeting him in penance and growing to love him more deeply. And so we must take her as an example when we reflect upon the resurrection of Christ, for we are blind and we are deaf to his cries to us. How can we take that blindness and that deafness, how can we take these weaknesses and lay them before the altar of God, before the throne of God, and ask him to call us by name that we might be saved? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The moon is the symbol of Our Lady. The moon is for those in darkness. And I think in a special way for sinners. So that if we but look to her who is the moon and derives all light from the sun, we would never fall into an abyss. Now this is the rosary.